Going to get into some Old Testament studies here, and told Darlene to leave her rocks up here until I got done with them, but God kind of led me a different direction as a result of one of our devotions that me and June shared together. It's really spoke to me, and I got to doing some more studying and looking into it, and God laid it on my heart to share this with you. We're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning. The main focus will be it's going to be in Matthew 25, but I want to share out of Matthew chapter 5 before we get into the scripture in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13-16 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." This is Christ's words. "But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." In other words, salt has a purpose. Salt we put it on our food to give our food flavor. But if it loses its purpose and you're putting it on your food, what happens to salt when it gets wet? What? Loses its flavor. It has no purpose then. He goes on and reads in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you and give you praise, Lord. We thank you for your word, and Father, how your living word that speaks to us, Lord, all down through eternity, Lord. We praise you for that, and Father, we thank you for this body of Christ and for the growth that has taken place here, Lord. The lives that you have touched, Lord, through your word and through your spirit, Lord, and we just give you praise for that. As we look into your word this morning, Lord, I pray that you just use this eternal word to speak to us today, Lord. Just lead me and guide me through this passage of scripture, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. That scripture there that we just read is talking about a light. And that's one thing that we're going to be looking at this morning. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, he gives a parable there in Matthew 25. And this parable is an answer to a question that was asked Jesus in chapter 24. Verse 3 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So this parable here in chapter 25, he's answering the question that the disciples came and asked Jesus, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" And we have in chapter 25 the parable of the 10 virgins. These 10 virgins here do not refer to the church. They refer to the nation of Israel. And in this parable, these virgins, they have a job to do to meet the bridegroom. To meet the bridegroom and the bride. Now, the marriage has already taken place, which is Christ and the church, and that has taken place in heaven. When the church is raptured, there's a marriage of Christ and the church, and that is taking place in heaven. But this marriage supper, which is illustrated here in this parable, takes place here on earth. Luke chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. When you're there, say amen. Luke 12, 35 and 36. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. Did you get it? He will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So that's what this parable is talking about. The marriage is taking place in heaven, and this marriage, this feast, the marriage supper takes place on earth. Christ is returning with the church. Now, just to give you a little bit of Jewish background that will help us, I believe, understand this parable, there was the Jewish custom that when the bridegroom would come with his friends, and they would do it at night time. He was on his way to the house of the bride. And of course, that household of the bride, they would be expecting them. They would know that he was coming. And when they seen that the groom and his friends were coming, the bridesmaid were given notice to go out, to take their lamps out. And there was lots of celebration, and they took their lights out, their lamps, to meet the bridegroom and to escort them back into the house. There was lots of jubilation, lots of celebration, and as they took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Christ, Jesus Christ himself, he is the bridegroom. And he's bringing the bride with him, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. When does that happen? The rapture, right? Taken up. The body of Christ is taken out. And at this point in time, then this parable is talking about the body of Christ, the bride is returning with Christ. This happens here on earth. You have the Great Tribulation. It's going to happen here upon earth. Christ has been in heaven with his bride, the church, and at the conclusion of the 7 years of tribulation, he comes back to earth with the church. And that's where we take up this parable here in 25, 1 through 13. I'm going to read that one, then we're going to go back through it. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The marriage supper, the celebration. this job of these virgins was to go out and meet to the bridegroom and with their lamps, they were to have light. And verse 2 tells us that it describes them. There was two groups of them. There were five of them that were wise and five that were foolish. And then in verse 3 it tells us that they took their lamps, but no oil. In other words, the foolish ones, they took lamps, but they didn't take any oil with them. They had just enough oil to make their lamps burn for the present time. In other words, they had enough oil in their lamp to make it show. But what if they got out there and he didn't show up as soon as they thought? Maybe he was coming down the hill there, and there was a couple of winding places in the trail. They could see him coming, that group coming, and they got out there, and they got out there too quick, and their lamp run without oil. So in other words, what if he tarried and he didn't come when they thought he would? What if in their life, if you apply that to your life today, what if you're a professing Christian and all of a sudden you start running into problems? All of a sudden, because of trials and difficulties in your life, you start running out of oil. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. Keep your place in there. We're going to be coming right back to that. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 19 says, laying up in store for themselves a what? A good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. You have to have a good foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that a Christian can have oil in your life. That oil represents the Holy Spirit. And you can say that you're a Christian all you want to. You can do this or do that and do all these good deeds. But if you have not the Spirit of God in your life, you're not born again. And you're going to run out of oil, because you're just like these virgins here that didn't take any oil with them. And then all of a sudden, through trials and tribulations and difficulties, and he does not return, he tarries, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. Now let's read on a little further. Back in Matthew chapter 25, verse 4. Look what it says about the wise. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. They took oil. They were keeping it burning. Their light was shining before men. They were salt of the earth. They had faith in Christ. That's what a Christian is. It's faith in Christ, and it's love for God, and it's love for brethren. Because if you don't have that oil in your lamp, you may claim it. You may know about Jesus, and you may know about God. And there's times that you may even have love for your brother. But there's times through difficulties and trials and things that come into your life that you're going to lose that. Now, it shares with us in this parable that you had the wise and the foolish, but they all had a common fault. And even though this is a parable about Christ returning for the marriage supper, we can apply this to our Christian walk and our Christian life and where we stand and with Jesus Christ. But what was their common fault? It tells us in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Didn't matter if they were wise or foolish, it says they all slept. He did not come as soon as they expected. You know, that's one thing about the return of Christ. And I think sometimes people get this mixed up when they talk about the second coming of Christ. That's what it is, the second coming of Christ. Because when the rapture takes place, Christ does not return to this earth. And we need to distinguish that. When the church is called out, Christ does not return to earth. What are they doing here? They slumbered and they slept. He did not come as soon as they expected. And he may tarry in calling the church out, but he will not tarry past the due time. You realize that? There's no one here that knows the time that Jesus Christ is going to step out and call his church home. There's only one that knows it according to the scriptures, and that is God himself. Even Jesus Christ does not know. So we are looking, we are expecting, and we keep thinking that Christ is going to come. He's going to come here and he's going to come there. He's going to come next year. He's going to come within the next 10 years. We do not know that. And sometimes I think this, we get to thinking and hoping that it'll be tomorrow, that it'll be today. And just like when we were coming back from looking at that building the other night, and I thought, man, that is a big building. You know, and that thought crossed my mind. What if tomorrow I wake up in eternity with heaven and I think, man, this is the big building you're talking about. Woo! Wouldn't that be awesome? Praise the Lord. You know, there's so many times I think as Christians we almost get our head stuck in the clouds. In other words, we get our head stuck up in heaven. And it's all about things of heaven, and we're still down here on this earth. And Jesus is tarrying now, and there's going to be trials and tribulations and things that come our way. But as Christians, as the body of Christ, this scripture should be telling us that we need to stay awake. Do not slumber. He tarried. In other words, those that waited for him forgot what they were attending. This group, they were there and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But they forgot why they were there. And what happened? They slumbered and they went to sleep. They grew careless. The wise virgins, they kept their lamps burning. They kept their lamp burning, but they did not keep themselves awake. You hear me, Christians? They did not keep themselves awake. Don't be caught slumbering. In other words, the love may not be lost, but they have the first love is left. In other words, they haven't lost their salvation, but that first love that you experienced when you had a new birth in Jesus Christ, you've lost that newness. You've lost that love, that zealous for God that you had in the beginning. Now look what happens. The bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept, and then all of a sudden there's a cry. There's a cry in verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." That cry came at last. When Christ steps out on the cloud and he calls his church home, there's going to be a cry, and we must go forth to meet him. At this same time, there was a call made, a cry, said, "Here comes the bridegroom," said, "take your lamps and go meet him." In other words, those who are actually ready. In verse 7, the answer to the call, "Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps." They answered the call. It says they all arose. They trimmed their lamps. They filled them with oil. You know, that tells us right there that even those that are best prepared for death, those that are best prepared for death in this lifetime here, we have work to do. Do you realize that? 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Keep your place in Matthew. We're coming right back. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Don't know where you're at spiritually, but we all have work to do from a spiritual standpoint of what we need to do. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot. When he calls the church home, wouldn't it be awesome to be to have your relationship with him where it needs to be? How can we be found without spot and without blameless? By the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Back in Matthew, these foolish virgins, they had a vain confidence that they thought they were okay. They thought they were okay. You know, and you can compare that to the Christian walk today. There are people that are professing Christians today that think they're okay. They think that everything is okay between them and God, because they've been caught up in this religious function and a society that has taught them that all they've got to do is come to church. All they got to do is be a good person, and they're not going to go to hell. That's not what the Scripture teaches. That's why Jesus Christ came and he died for us, so that he could take our place and we wouldn't have to go there. These foolish virgins thought they were okay. They thought they had enough oil to go out there and meet the bridegroom and keep their light burning. You know, I've had so many people that when you go to do a funeral, every family, and I can understand where this comes from, every family wants, that's the first thing they bring up, is the time in their family, maybe had made a commitment to Christ, maybe they went forward in an altar call or whatever. Every family wants you to preach their loved one into heaven. You know, that's not my job. That is not my job. And in the same way, Jesus Christ does not want anybody here or any family member to go to hell. That's why he came and he died and he bled for each one of us. He paid that price. The Scripture says that you will know them, and you'll know them by their fruit. What is the fruit that we have been talking about? It's that eternal fruit, things in relation to the kingdom of God. There's so many people today that are caught up in going to church and good works and this and that, and they're just like these foolish virgins. They do not have any oil. They do not have the Spirit of God in them, and they have convinced themselves that they are okay with God. They're going to spend eternity in a hell that was made for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't made for us. All of a sudden, there's a distress call. Verse 8 and 9. And the fool said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. All of a sudden they were in distress. They knew, they realized that they were in need of oil, that they needed that oil. They realized the misery of the state that they were in. Their lamps were going out. All hope is fading. They realized that they're just saying that they were a Christian will not do any good. But see, in this time frame that we're living in this grace period, when you get to that point right there, it's too late for you. You realize that? It's too late. All hope is fading. You realize that your works will not save you. You realize that time that you went up when all your friends went up for church and you went to the altar just because everybody else was going. You realize at that moment that it's not going to do you no good. See, there's all kinds of people that go through life thinking they're okay. They're all caught up in religious stuff. Christ has a word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. These are Christ's words. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's distress. That is distress. Saying that you are a Christian. You know, there's people that even can hang on to that their entire life, and they can be good people and have all and do this and this and that for the church, and they can get through life. And maybe people not even realize that they're lost, and people think that they're in heaven, but when it comes to that valley of the shadow of death, that's going to put out that little light that they had. Why? Because they're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look what they said in verse 8. They said, give us some of your oil. We're running out. Our lamps are burning out. The bridegroom, he's just right around the corner. He's right there, but we've run out. In other words, they want the Spirit. They've seen it in other people's lives. They've seen the Spirit of God working in others' lives, and they want that, but they don't want to humble themselves and give it to Jesus. They want that, but they don't want to say that Jesus is the only way. They start asking for some of their oil. They were denied a share in verse 9. It tells them to get your own. That's what we have to do. We have to get our own grace. And our own grace comes from Jesus Christ. And that's the only grace that we can have, is God's grace that he gives us. So they gave them the best advice that they could give. It says, go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now look what happens. They went out to buy. The bridegroom came. Verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Did you catch that? The door was shut. Those that were ready, they went in. When all the company has come to the marriage feast, the marriage supper, the door is shut. Same way when the church is called out, that door is going to be shut. Why is that? Two reasons. It secures those that are within. That's why that door is shut. But it's also to exclude those that were out. See, with a holy God, a holy and righteous God, a sinless God, there has to be separation from sin. It's too late. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. There's going to be many. It's like it said in that other scripture, many that will seek, but it's too late. Shut out. The door has been shut. The rejection, verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. In verse 13, watch. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It's not talking about 20 years or 50 years or 100. It's not even talking about a year. It says, watch therefore, for you know the day nor the hour. It could be today. It could be an hour from now. Final message of this is be awake. Be awake spiritually. Realize that the time is drawing near. And though we get to thinking that he's tarrying, he's not tarrying. And there may be people right here today that may die and go to heaven. But there again, there's an awful good chance that he could come any moment and snatch us up as a church, as a body of Christ. We know neither the day nor the hour. The most important thing that you can do today is to know where you're going to spend eternity. If you haven't been born again, all you're doing is deceiving yourself. And I close with this. It's kind of odd. The title of the message is A Fuel Shortage. And that's what you're going to experience if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. If you have not been born again, you're going to have a fuel shortage. Because when that valley of the shadow of death comes along, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, it doesn't matter what you have believed. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, you have no oil. And you're going to experience a fuel shortage. Amen.